Is to have, for the very first time, Mark Ryan, the beautiful Bogan, on Comedy Legends with Bevo.
Hey Bevo, how you doing, man?
Hey, great to have you on. It's Fringe time, mate, and you've got a wonderful Fringe show. It's called I'm Not Here to Fuck Spiders, F.CK spot, however you want to say it. What's the show all about? Tell us more.
So the show is unashamedly about suicide prevention and mental health awareness. That's all it is. There's no other way to put it. It's my lived experience with mental health and suicide ideation put into a 50-minute show. Yeah, that's, you know, and with a bit of hope and lots of jokes. Like, it's very funny, but lots of jokes as well and hope, because I'm still here. Which is amazing, because you can't do a show about suicide prevention if I'd taken my life.
That's right. Yeah, and I've seen one of your shows before. You performed down at the Seaford Hotel. It was magnificent, and hence how we sort of got to catch up again, which is terrific, mate. And your show, you know, it blew me away because we were talking off air about this as well. It's like, 'cause you know when you watch comedians and you think, how much of this is actually bullshit and how much is it true? And you said 90% of what you were saying was true. So you have actually been through some tough battles, the mental health side of things.
Yeah. So, I mean, for people haven't seen my show, like, I won't give too much away, but I suffered pretty big childhood trauma, some childhood abuse from an uncle. And, you know, that all kind of got triggered in a couple of different scenarios through my life. And I didn't know how to deal with the first couple. And then, you know, closer to the end, I had a really, really big trigger, which I call day zero, because that's the day I went back to, like, not knowing what was happening in life. Like, I struggle to hold down a full-time job now. I can't do certain stuff because I have this hypervigilance in PTSD, which can, you know, just put me off track really quick. Yeah, so I call that day zero, because that really started everything kind of again, just going, wow, what the fuck's happened?
So it's actually your childhood, you know, bad experiences that happened. You mentioned before your uncle, and did you have a good relationship with your parents as well growing up?
So, my parents are the best, right? But, you know, typical northern suburbs kid, well, maybe not typical, but, you know, grew up in an era of high interest rates, and mum never worked, but dad did. And so we didn't have a lot of money. You know, there's no shade on them or any hate on them. That's just the reality of the situation, right? And so we got, you know, they did the best they could with what they had. And that hence why, you know, for a while there, they got my uncle to look after me, but they had no idea that my uncle was this fucking monster who would, you know, physically abuse children. So, and they had, and again, they didn't know, you know, and you don't know what you don't know. So they kind of, and when they did find out, right, when eventually my mum found out, you know, shit hit the fan and it all kind of stopped. But, you know, it took a good 6 months for a friend. And anyone that has suffered, you know, abuse before knows there's a lot of shame attached to it. You know what I mean? So you don't publicly make it known that, oh, yeah, so this happened to me the other day. Ah, you know, like, you just keep it in the inside and you stew on it going, oh, fuck, I just don't know what just happened to me. But I know it wasn't great. So, yeah, so, and look, I still love my parents. Yeah. It was, yeah, apart from the other stuff, reasonably normal childhood.
And has your uncle apologised for this? And have you still got a relationship with him? Or?
Nah, he moved away to Townsville. He's a proper arsehole. Like, he's not even a little bit of an arsehole. He's a proper, you know, he's a racist and, yeah, just a piece of shit human. And, you know, I had a trigger last year, actually, where my Nana lived 900 metres from our house, but I didn't have a relationship with that side of the family anyway. And she passed away, and so he came down from Townsville to paint her house, right? And so he was, like, literally working 900 metres from my house. And I had this massive panic attack, and I was kind of like, well, what do you do? Like, I had no idea. I kind of – and, like, I had therapy that week, so I went to my therapist. I'm like, man, like, what do I do? Like, I literally hid in my house for a week because I was so terrified of, you know, what happens when I see him, or what if I run into him. And – I'm already pretty tense. And, like, if, you know, if I see people in the shop and they're like, hey, how you doing? Like, you know, I've seen your show, which doesn't happen lots, but sometimes it happens. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they might go, oh, he's a bit weird. Yeah, because I'm fucking paranoid. The shops and stuff, I'm really anxious. I'm really paranoid, right? And so I'm like, what happens if I just run into this guy? Because it's Adelaide.
Yeah.
Like, you run into anyone. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, man, what's the deal with that? And then I was talking to my therapist, and he said, listen, just drive past where he is in the safety of your own car to see what he looks like. Do you know what I mean? Just expose yourself to a bit. Because with PTSD, you know, there's a thing they call exposure therapy, which is you expose yourself to the trauma bit by bit by bit. And so I tried that and it didn't work. And then I started getting a bit of a loop in like intrusive thoughts, like, you know, if I see him, I'll run him over. Like, this is being vulnerable and, you know, maybe I can bash him. And then I start, no, stop. So I took myself home. And then what eventually ended up happening is, I won't give too much from the show away, but I found some handcuffs, which was his method of torture. I put him in a fuck you card from, kind of like Smoke Mart, but yeah. It's a different. I had a finger sticking up and I put his name up the top and I put these handcuffs in the card and left. I put a note, oh, you've left something behind, from Mark. And I put it on the doorstep of his house where he was working. And from all reports, it kind of shook him a little bit, like, oh, fuck, he knows I'm here. And which gave me a real kind of like, you know what? All right, it's done now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's done.
What if he was to get in touch with you in the future and apologise to you? Would you take that apology?
So I've forgiven him. I've forgiven him because unforgiveness only breeds hate, right? And life is too short to hate anyone. Like, I don't hate him. Like, he, I don't know if he knew what he was doing or not, right? But I live by a Stoic philosophy now called Memento Mori, which is one day you'll die, which means I'm going to enjoy the shit out of this podcast, Bevo, because I don't know what's around the corner. Like, tomorrow's not promised to anyone. You know, I'm going to enjoy this now. And I'm not going to let hate get involved in that. I don't hate the guy. Like, I'm never going to sit down and have a meal with him because that would be dangerous for me and it'd be dangerous for my mental health. But I don't hate him. Like, if I saw him, I'd walk past him and just go, yeah, whatever, champ. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
life's too short. And I do that with everything now. Like, I love coffee. Right, I love coffee. I'm a coffee snob. Yes. And so I have this routine every day. And, you know, people out there, again, this is, you know, some of the content in the show. Like, so either don't judge it and still come to the show, or really enjoy it and come to the show. But I go down to Coles supermarket, like the Coles service station, every day, and I buy $1.50 coffee, right? And I know that's as bad as my day is going to get. Like, this is the worst coffee I've ever tasted in my life. And I'm going to sip the shit out of this and go, you know what? My day is not going to get any worse than what this coffee is. And after that, it's all good. I'm like, whatever can happen, happen. Like, my son broke his laptop at school the other day, and it was a school laptop. And they rang me and said, oh, Mr. Ryan, you know, your son's dropped his laptop and it's broken. I said, okay. And they said, oh, $600. I went, yeah, right. And the guy's like, you're not upset? Well, what do you want me to do about it now? It's broken.
Great, like, attitude.
What do you want me to do? Yeah. Like, it's broken. I'll pay for it. Put it on the bill. I'm still paying school fees. Yeah. Put it on the bill. You get paid in like 2030. I'm a stand-up comedian. Like, I'll go, you know, after they finish school, my plan is to go bankrupt and not pay anyone anything. Like, screw them.
And the name, The Beautiful Bogan, tell us about that.
Well, the long and short of it was, I did The Fringe probably 8 years ago now, and I had a show called The Beautiful Bogan. And there's another comedian called Marcus Ryan. And from what I understand, Kitty Flanagan was the ambassador that year. And she went on Ruin Dit's show. And they said, what's a show that a bogan could go watch? And they said, go see Marcus Ryan or go see Mark Ryan. And the names got mixed up.
Oh.
Right? And so everyone, from what I understand, like, he had a massive audience that year. And I still had no one.
I'm ripped off.
Yeah, which, again, in the light of everything, right, because, I believe in fate and I believe everything happens for a reason, yeah, that's all right. It wasn't the time for it to happen. Do you know what I mean? But I did, at the time, I was like, that's a bit of shit.
Stitched up, yeah.
So. So then what I did is I just went, you know what, I'll go by the name of Beautiful Bogan. So then there's a separation from, like, there's Mark Ryan or there's Marcus Ryan. And we're really good friends, because I'll often get a message on his birthday saying happy birthday, and I'm like, Wrong Marcus Ryan. Or, like, I've been called for, true story, this happened about 3 weeks ago. A promoter from Melbourne rang me and said, oh, will I see, can you come to a show in town tonight? And I went, yeah, man. And he's like, and we had a big discussion about it. And he told me the hotel, and it's the same hotel we have here in Adelaide. And he's messaging me and going, shit, you're not in Melbourne, are you? And I'm like, no, I'm not in Melbourne. I'm in Adelaide. And for $75, I'm not jumping on a plane to go do that show. But yeah, that happened. So there's no hard feelings, but that happened. So then I kind of went, well, if I go by Mark Ryan, The Beautiful Bogan, that kind of separates stuff. And also, it's, you know, an oxymoron, because far from beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an overweight, hairy man. Yeah, I've got blue eyes. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But apart from that, like, there's nothing. Oh, and my heart's beautiful. I can. I'm not saying like a dude.
And you've got a full head of hair, mate, which I'm very jealous of. So,
like, it's all matted at the. Oh, it's not that good. Like, I've thought my basketball hero is Alex Caruso from Chicago Bulls and the Lakers, and he's got a bald head, and so it's all good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
There's lots of good looking bald people out there.
Yeah, the bald mamba, that's what they call him. I've even got him tattooed on my leg. True story.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And let's go back to where it all started. Your very first show. What was the experience like? Where was it? And did you bomb out, or was it a ripper? Or
so, take a few steps back. So I, again, without harping on it too much, I was in a real bad shape. I was in a real bad shape. I've lived with this for 20 years, and I was on the edge of life, and I was having really intrusive thoughts and different stuff. So I went and engaged a work counsellor. I was working at Coles at the time, the EAP. I got an appointment with him, and we were sitting here like this, and then he said, "Hey, when was the last time you ever felt good about your life?" And I went, "Well, I did a best man speech at my friend's wedding and I made everyone laugh." Right. And what the beauty of that was I'd never done stand up in my life. Right. And I did this cracking best man speech and killed it. And like, to this day, everyone's like, "That was kind of really cool." And the therapist just kind of looked at me and just gone, "So you want to be a stand up comedian?" And I was like, it never crossed my brain ever. Like, I'd never even thought of it. Like, I love stand up, but, and then I was sitting there just going, "I don't know, but maybe." And then he could see me thinking and he just goes, "Well, don't." And I went, "What do you mean, don't?" He goes, "Don't. Like, if you're already on the edge of life, like, stand-up comedy is not going to help you." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "It's not, like, that's the most vulnerable art form in the world. Like, you, if you die on stage, you're going to feel that for weeks." And I was like, "Oh, yeah." So, because I'm good at listening to doctor's advice, I went to my first open mic ever and I was like, "Let's do this." And I did really well. Like, I killed it. I was like, "Oh, all right."
Was that at the Crown Manker?
No, it was at Rhino. So that was what they call one mic stand back in the day. So Michael Bowley, another stand-up comedian in Adelaide, he used to run one mic stand at the original Rhino. So I still remember getting there nice and early and being nervous and kind of a bit all over the shop. And I did go on one competition before that. I went in another competition, but it wasn't Raw. It was this other dodgy competition that you had to vote with, what do you call it? Like voting pads. And so like I had three people there. Like, and this other guy had a room full of people. And I'm not saying he was horrible, but he wasn't great. And he won the whole thing just because he had more friends, like this popularity contest. But I did meet one of my best friends, Justin Goodall, there. Like, and if, you know, again, if that hadn't happened, probably wouldn't have met Justin. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, life has its way of weaving stories through and different stuff. So, but yeah, so my first real proper gig was at Rhino at One Mic Stand. And then from there, I went back and back again and, you know, kind of got hooked on it all. And yeah, and then we're here today.
So cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Have you like done any performances in state and overseas as well? Or?
So I toured New Zealand once, which is another whole different, like I toured there with an American comedian called Kevin Tate. He's just a working comic in America. Beautiful man, like taught me a lot, like taught me a heap about stand-up in the 2 weeks that we were working together. However, New Zealand and the promoter, more the promoter than anything, dodgiest dude I've ever met in my life, like dodgy. to the point where we were staying in Airbnbs with the people living in them. Like we only had a room, like we didn't have hotel, like it wasn't a hotel thing. And I remember one night he rang up and he's like, "Hey, listen guys, I'm really short on money. Can you order from the kids menu today?" Like, what? Kids menu? Yeah, can you order from the kids menu? I'll go get my own dinner. That's all right. Like, geez. So, and then I've done a bit of interstate. Like I was, when I say blessed, because I count all of this as a blessing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, could still be working at Coles and stuff. So I was blessed to be able to do a show in Toowoomba last year with Greg Inglis, the rugby league legend. So I did a show with Greg Inglis.
Oh, is he a comedian?
He does lived experience stuff, kind of like what other sportsmen do, but he's got a project called the Gowanna Foundation, which is, you know how he used to do the Gowanna thing on the floor?
So yeah.
He started like an Aboriginal kind of organisation to help kids.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that was kind of, so he launched his foundation in Toowoomba and they asked me to come up there and open.
What an experience.
Yeah, oh, it was killer.
Yeah.
But I've mainly been around mining sites. So last year I did Moomba Gasworks up there. I did Roxby last year. The year before that, I went to a place called Iluka Mines, which is 300 k's past Ceduna, and I did so. Yeah, so I'm all doing state travel within the state and then outside. But look, yeah, I'm always up for travel as well.
And your parents before, you mentioned you had a close relationship with them. What was their reaction when you told them that you're going to be a stand-up comedian?
Oh, like everyone, will you? Like, are you funny? Like, but my life has been funny, right? Well, some of it. But the other bits I can make fun out of because it happened to me. So I think now with the mental health stuff, it's a little bit more challenging for them because if I put myself in their shoes, if I had a son coming forth saying, look, this happened to me, like I'd be like, oh, well, hang on a sec. Like, I didn't mean for it. Like, but I don't blame them for anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, it happened. It is what it is. You know what I mean? It was done in secret and it was done behind closed doors, like as in, the abuse and stuff. So I don't blame them for any of that. Do you know what I mean? So, but I can see how that can be taken a little bit and a little bit like, oh, but nah. So, yeah. So, yeah, look, I think they'd prefer me to have a proper full-time job, but at the same time.
You're doing what you love.
I do. You do what you love and, it pays the bills. I'm still looking for 20 jobs a fortnight, so I just count gigs. I did 20 gigs this fortnight. Like, I asked for a job when I was on stage. Has anyone got a job? Like, no one's got a job. All right, then. That was me asking. That was me applying for jobs.
I want to ask you as well, because I actually emceed a mate's wedding a few years ago, and I told what I thought was a really funny story. It was about mates of mine that used to, you get home on a Saturday night and I had slats on the bed, the wooden slats, right? And they'd played a joke so that when I went to go to sleep, I was pretty hungover or pretty drunk at the time. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning, big night out with the boys. And just all you want to do is just sleep. You know what it's like?
Yeah.
And you go to lie down and you collapse through the bed because they pulled the slats from underneath. And you're laughing. Like, it's a pretty funny story. I got absolute tumbleweeds from a few people there. And I was like, that's what I really get put off with stand-up comedy, doing stand-up comedy myself. Because a few people said, oh, you're pretty funny. But how do you deal with people in that sort of situation where you tell a joke and there's especially serious stuff like mental health stuff and, when there's no laughter there? How do you deal with that?
Well, look, at first, like any young stand-up comedian, you panic and you kind of like, and your heart rate goes up and you're like, oh, no, what am I going to do? Oh, and you really do, like, because inside your brain, you're like, that should have worked. But ever since I've been, trying to really develop stillness in my life, if there's a joke that doesn't work, I just take a deep breath and just, because I'm on the stage, it's my time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll just move on to the next joke, or I'll just work out where, and it's happened to me plenty of times. Like, it's, especially when you're a new comic and especially when you don't know the demographic of the place. So for instance, I did a show at Strip. Can we cut that? Just cut it. I did a show at Streaky Bay, right? And they hated me. The first time I was ever in Streaky Bay. Now I've got a good relationship with people in Streaky Bay now. So I'm not trying, if they see this, I'm not throwing shade at them or hate at them or anything like that. But the first time I ever went there, right, I told some jokes and they hated me. Like to the point where I went, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be Mark around the Beautiful Burger and I'll see you later. And I got
booed.
No, it was worse than boo, because boo, at least they acknowledged you there. Like, I got
not even a round of applause.
Nothing. No, nothing.
That's right.
I got told, don't ever come back again. Like, the owner of the pub at the time hated me. Like, he was just like, that was deplorable.
Gee, that's rough.
Oh, it was really rough. However, since then, I've gone back. I've made amends. I did a mental health show. So I did a series of shows for an organisation called Mentally Fit EP. So they're run by this amazing lady, two ladies, Lane Montgomery and Emma Gale from Lincoln, and they go all over Eyre Peninsula. So I did a series of shows out there when the drought was in full effect. Did a mental health show out there at Streaky. At the same place, again, the anxiety was through the roof, but we nailed it. And then the owner afterwards bought me a couple of beers and I was like, oh, well. There we go. We won back the audience.
Well, that's a massive credit to you for doing that, because that would have been so difficult.
Oh, look, it was, I got to say, I was terrified. Yeah. Like, I really was kind of like, I don't know how this is going to go. Like, but it went well. And again, I've been back there since. I've been back a few times now, and and get this, you know, good reaction every time. So it's, yeah. But that happens. Do you know what I mean? Because comedy's subjective. Do you know what I mean? And my biggest thing, Bevo, was like, I pointed, because I did a show, a flood relief show in Berry probably 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now. And I said to all the boomers, and if there's boomers watching this, listen to what I'm saying. you get offended at heaps of stuff, right? So they change the name of Chico Babies, right? They change
it. Don't get me started on that.
They get offended at that, right? Yeah. Who cares? It's the same product, right? They change the name of cheese. Like my ex-wife is a proud Aboriginal woman. So anyone that knows sport, like the Bond boys are her cousins. Michael Graham that played for Sturt is her uncle. Right. Very proud of her culture, right? And I've got so many Aboriginal friends. They change the name of the cheese, right?
To Cheers, yeah.
Yeah, to Cheers. And people lost their shit over it. You know what? I've never been called that name, right, that it was originally. So what? Change it. If that makes them feel more comfortable, change it. It's not a bigger deal, right? It's not that big a deal, right? And if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
Like if you're that dead against it, don't. I buy it now. I didn't buy it before, but now I'll buy it.
I can see where you're coming from. I guess like my thoughts were, you know, someone who's got a surname Coon, you know.
Yeah,
like,
of course. Yeah.
Yeah. But so fact, you can see it from both sides, can't you?
I can see it from both sides, but I can see the side where and it's not pandering to people. It's just and I've said this numerous times, like for so long, we've been running Aboriginal people down, right? And we really do, right? We don't listen to them. Like my point of view, is for Uluru, for instance, right? So if we went to Thailand, me and you went to Thailand on a holiday, right? And there was a monk standing at the front of like some ancient ruins. And he said, please don't walk on the ruins because it's against our culture. We'd go, you know what? Cool, dude. Not going to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the day, you go to Uluru and there's an elder there going, please don't walk on this. And I'm going to walk it on anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, we just don't have enough respect for them. So,
so true.
If that adds a little bit more respect, right, by changing that, because it's not that big a deal.
Same as changing a date.
Same as changing a date.
Yeah,
Like, come on, it's not that. Like, and even on the change of date thing, right, people go, oh, but it's a tradition. It's really not.
Yeah.
Like, it's only been around since 1994. Yeah. Like, that's not a big tradition. Like,
make it the 27th. Who cares? Like,
make it anything but.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, another tradition that's back in 1994 was, maybe 96. So only 2 years younger was Essendon Collingwood on Anzac Day.
Anzac Day, exactly.
I would change that in a heartbeat. Any supporter that's not Collingwood Essendon would change that because it should be like S NFL where it's the grand finalists.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? But I guess my point with baby boomers is like, You grew up in the age of love, so you did more drugs than us.
Yeah.
You slept around more than us. You got drunk more than us.
Yeah.
So stop being so offended. Do you know what I mean? Just take a chill pill.
Just relax.
Like, go take some more mushrooms. You know what I mean? Like,
I love it.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, you know, but yeah.
And before we let you go, tell us about your show again. Where is it and when's it on?
So my show is literally everywhere. So my reason for living is to spread the suicide prevention message, right? I've done it since I was a kid. I used to put on shows called Mosh Against Suicide, which we had like punk bands play and stuff.
I remember those. Yeah,
we raised money for. We used to have a banquet with Seraph's Cole play. Oh,
they were the best.
And we had Embodiment, and we had a bad old emo band called Think Tank.
Yeah,
like so. I've lived this for years, right? So I'm not just doing shows in town, so I'm doing Five Nights at the Laugh Lounge, but then I'm doing Walkerville Town Hall. I'm doing Drossen, Maitland, then come back and do Hewitt, Aldinga, Port Adelaide, and then I go to York Peninsula and do Tumby, Port Neal, Lincoln, Cummins, Woodner, Kimber, and then Wyala to finish off.
Wow.
So literally, and there's a code, enough is enough, for $20 tickets, because I don't want price barrier for anyone to go, I can't afford it. No, just come hear a message of hope, right? Because the fact is, I'm so passionate about trying to keep people around, and I'm still here. So if I can still do it, anyone can still do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, So, and it's about communicating as well.
And you're also on Instagram as well?
The Beautiful Bogan on Instagram. Yeah. You hit me up on that, and I've got a Facebook page as well, but mainly through Instagram now. But yeah, and you know, the show's not here to fuck spiders, because let's just open up and start talking properly.
Well, Mark Ryan, the beautiful Bogan, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, my brother. It's been fun.
Oh, it's been awesome, mate. Good chat with you all day. Thanks for coming on Comedy Legends with Bevo, and look forward to checking out the show again.
Yeah, 100%. Come on down. It'll be great.